Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And good morning, everybody. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. Michael, this weather just keeps getting better and better. What a beautiful morning.
It was spectacular, and I think because of the low humidity, and it's supposed to be in the 80s, I am going to be able to get my walk in at noon without being killed by humidity,
there you
right?
Go. Yeah, absolutely.
90 and 90 degree humidity is not fun. So I've got a shot right now, Dan, to get my walk in.
Well, I did something very stupid this morning. I got up at 5:30 and drove to Lexington. So I've been to Lexington and back already to watch a horse work. But the other thing that was spectacular, I guess we've got this haze and the air quality alert because of the fires out west, but you should have seen the sun come up, Mike. It was a reddish orange. I'd never seen the sun be this color. But when it came up about halfway to Lexington, it was absolutely beautiful. It's just a great morning.
And you give that to the fires going
yeah,
on out west.
Coming, I guess it's the haze, but whatever caused it, the sun was just a spectacular color.
Well, I was talking to my brother yesterday, and his daughter, my niece, just had a baby, and they live in Oregon, a small town in Oregon. She teaches, and that's where her husband's from. But anyway, my brother's up there because of the baby, and I asked him about the fires. I said, you got a lot of smoke because you're right there in Oregon. Mm-hmm. He said, no, it's all blowing to the west.
No, we've got it. Unfortunately. Yeah.
And I asked him what he thought this one was from. And he said, everybody's saying lightning strikes when they have lightning storms, summer lightning storms, just fire the whole place up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been really bad in Colorado because a lot of the evergreens are dying. They've got some disease, some weevil has gotten into the and there's large areas in the mountains of Colorado where, you know, just acres and acres of these trees are dead and brown. And so, you know, Mother Nature's gonna take care of herself and clear those things out. So
the Christmas tree farms are gone.
Yeah, it's really bad. The other thing I wanted to ask you, as I was driving to Lexington, this thought came across my mind. Whatever happened to the speed limit?
It's still posted, but nobody observes it.
You know, the speed limit going to Lexington is 70.
Right.
So right. I figure if I go 77, 78, you know, they won't bother me. Michael, cars are going by me. They've got to be going 85, 90 miles an hour. And not just one or two of them. I mean, there are dozens of them. I got behind. I got on the Gene Snyder out at Brownsboro. And I got behind a semi truck. Not a panel truck. A semi 18-wheeler truck going around the Gene Snyder 81 miles an hour. I timed him. I got behind him. And kept even with him. He was going 81 miles an hour. Then we got to 64 going east, and he opened it up. he had to be going 84, 85 miles an hour in an 18-wheeler. And I stayed right with him until we got to, I think it was Shelbyville. He got off the interstate. But I've never seen a semi going 85 miles an hour.
Listen, they're out there now. I saw them on my trip to Charlotte and a trip to Florida, whatever. I mean, it's what I call Linda Ronstadted. You know, you get blew by you. I mean, there's a stretch. There's a stretch around the truck way station after you leave, just past Shelbyville, where it goes to three lanes you get to the first exit there, Wadi. Man, you get in the middle lane, and they just kill you, man, on the left and the right. It doesn't make any difference. I didn't know you were supposed to pass on right.
I guess, you know, the state's got a surplus of $1 billion, I think, or something over $1 billion. So I guess they don't need to write too many speeding tickets because there is nobody out there watching the speed limit.
The state's got a $1 billion surplus and they're squalling all the time?
Yeah. No.
I'll be daggone.
No, I think I read that. Yeah.
Well, a couple of things we've got to talk about.
Okay.
One is. The hot dog eating.
I knew this was coming.
Nikki,
I knew this was coming.
We had our all-stars. I mean, we didn't have any lightweights representing the station.
No.
We had our all-stars, and boy, did we get embarrassed.
Yeah, no, it was not a strong performance from, I mean, considering our combined score was the winning total from Dwight Whitten. Who, he's on a rival radio station, but you know what? He was the champion. He showed out. That's what happened.
12 he ate
when
12.
He showed out. He ate 10. Tied the, they had a fan participant. And he tied with him, and they were side by side. And it had a one dog eat off, and Dwight just missed it. The Brett Bone. When your name's Brett Bone, when I saw that listed, I was like, oh, this guy can house some tubed meat. I mean, Brett Bone just sounds like a guy. Like, I mean, he sounds like a fullback, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was a stout guy. Not fat by any stretch, stout guy. And I was like, ooh, that's the guy to beat. And yeah, he was.
Well,
and
what's a one dog eat off? What's that?
Well, I guess after you've eaten, now it was a 5 minute. Is
it was
that right?
Five minutes.
Five minute time limit. So I guess if you've eaten 10 hot dogs in 5 minutes, a one dog eat off, that's just if you can get it down.
Yeah,
I would guess.
And they both chowed. It was actually really exciting. Like I was over there and I was, you know, completely eliminated, and I was just kind of happy I didn't vomit on anyone. So I was, you know,
well, how,
I was
how,
full on cheerleader okay. mode at that point.
Right.
You know,
well,
got a slow clap going.
Give us the number.
It was six. It was six. Yeah. But I've been, I told you guys this in the back, and I'll tell the listeners, and I'll probably use this joke again later on the V Show. But I've been all week, once they released the odds, I was saying, you know, it was like a horse race. We got a couple fillies in there. But Jack and I were definitely geldings last night. It was an absolutely abysmal performance. But my idea going in was, look, I'm not making excuses. I just didn't have the stuff last night. But I, you know, I don't know if it was because of the stomach flu from the weekend or the softball game we were playing before. Doesn't matter. Came in, didn't have the stuff. First dog chowed it down. Good chew. You got to get a good chew on the first one. So good jump. It was a good jump. And then I was like, all right, I got to swallow this thing. Put that on the mixtape. And my body, like my mouth, like, you know, if like, you know, it's like a team.
Did it lock up on
the you? Mouth was like, all right, we're doing this. And the stomach was like, oh, wait, you got to get that down here. And it took me like a minute to get the first dog just down. So like 2 seconds to chew it, like 45 seconds to swallow. And at that point, I was like, okay, we're not going to win, but let's get that podium. Let's get that podium. And so like had an okay pace, but then right around dog four, a little bit of a backdraft, a little bit of, and at that point it was like, I told Dan, I was like Kent DeSorme in the Belmont on Big Brown. I just pulled up and I was like, you know what, let's try to window dress a little bit, but not throw up on this nice family in front of me. And so, yeah, that was it. And I was thinking maybe getting a garbage dog hot dog in there, just shoving two in late. And because I think they just count it as long as it's in your mouth. So I was thinking, you know, maybe I could kind of, you know, at least cover the spread if I got, you know, two more in there. But I was like, that's not honorable hot dog eating. So I just took my six, tail between my legs, and went home.
And Crean was even worse.
Yeah. Now he did have five. His brother, which is totally on brand, miscounted because evidently, you know, poor Ethan, you know, once he runs out of, you know, fingers, so Jack had five, but he was credited with four, but he had five. And I'm not even, there was a point I thought I only had five, but the official scorekeeper was six. I wasn't counting. I was just trying not to vomit. To and so, yeah. So now, quick, you know what? I'm doing too long on this, but I will say.
I have two questions, but you may answer them. Keep going.
Okay. The, after the event, I was trying to, you know, save face and trying to get the crowd into it. So I had plenty of hot dogs left. And so I started throwing them out into the crowd. And
were they wrapped up?
Oh, yeah. No, they were wrapped. I mean, but, I mean, I'm slobbering and eating and everything like that. So the girl, the intern that was, like, running the thing is yelling, don't throw the hot dogs out. Like, that could be, you know, like a lawsuit. We are in a pandemic, you jackass. And so, but all the other media people start doing it, too. And so she's like, stop. And so I got a little bit in trouble. But,
did you have your eating license revoked?
Well, no, and I hope I didn't get anyone in trouble because they are like totally wrapped. I'm sure they're safe, but just for, you know, you got to be careful. I understand. Sure, She's just doing her job. She was like, screaming at us, and I was like, ooh, I might not get invited back. But I wanted to do something cool because I totally spit the you know, the bed.
Spit the bit.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I'm going to show off. I got an okay arm. So I was like, I'm going to get this hot dog in the upper level. And so I like, there's like, I have everyone around us. Cause I should mention that we did it on the Bats dugout. And that was one of the other reasons I didn't want to.
I
didn't want to vomit.
About the crowd. What kind of crowd?
It was a great crowd. The Bats had a great crowd last night, which I don't think helped because I kind of didn't want to do this in front of anybody. So I think I got a little stage fright. So that, you know, coming in with absolutely nothing in the turbo button, the turbo bank, and then getting stage fright did not make for a good day. But it was a great crowd. And so the people are all going crazy and I'm trying to get the hot dog. So I see like a little, like a smattering of kids way up the line. Like, and I was like, I got you. And so I turn and hose this hot dog, but perfectly on totally on brand for the night, came up short and nailed this old couple in the face. I mean, just absolutely. I mean, I was like, all right, I got to do something cool. So, all right, let's try to show off the hose. Oh, that short. Bang, hit poor Bertha right in the chest. And I think she caught it to her credit, but I mean, it pelted her. And I the kids were like, yeah, wow, this guy really does suck. You know? So I just, the poor, yeah, that, so, you know. That poor family.
You're at a baseball game. You're in a hot dog eating contest. Now, we all know baseball now, for the most part, has walk-up music. So what was your walk-up music before you started eating? Nick Valvano from ESPN Louisville, and then the music. What was it?
They just did a collective. They did player introductions, which was very nice. The Bats did an awesome job with this. It was really well done. They announced this all. They had just a collective music. If I had to pick something though, I probably would have gone with Ric Flair's entrance music. That would have been
Ric Flair,
you know, 2001 Space Odyssey. Woo, you know.
Well, if my memory serves, a couple weeks ago, you were the idol of the station when you hit the walk-off home run.
Yeah, and I kind of was wondering if I could ride that momentum into this, but
I was just going to say, I think those days are over.
Yeah. I will say, though, last night in the Gas Bags game, shout out to the Gas Bags, playing the number one team in the league, very respectable, 21-13 loss. I mean, and I know that sounds like a lot, but comfortably covered the 35-run spread. And your boy, you know, little Nicky was a Willie Mays out in the outfield.
Really?
Made a little diving snag. Oh, yeah. So, you know, saved a little face with that one. And then was kind of riding high and then immediately got shot back down to earth during the hot dog eating contest. But we didn't throw up, and hopefully they invite us back next year. Jack and I are going to, you know.
You need to train.
Yeah, I think that was also the problem, Dan. Yeah, like, I think we came in a little too chesty. And, I mean, and you know, the pressure was on, and we caved. 100% caved. Choked both literally and figuratively. So,
well, I have the final question I have for you. A piece of advice, I think Dan will go along. Send thank you notes to the Bats for inviting you, and you'll get invited back, right?
Absolutely.
But
I was going to do the Italian thing and just grease a few palms, but, you know, that works too.
I got something I want to talk to you about the Italian thing, too, before we let you go. I was listening yesterday. But anyway, how do they determine when they had to eat off? Is the first one that's done with?
Yeah. It was a one dog sprint.
Okay.
A one dog sprint. And that was my go-to party trick in college.
Really?
Like, yeah. So I mean, for the longest time, I was like, I think I could keep pace with Joey Chestnut for 5 hot dogs. But I don't know. Maybe not anymore. Maybe the bloom's off that rose. So it was a humbling experience last night, but yeah, I knew going into it. It was going to be a rough one. It was, yeah.
Well, let me plug our two guests, Nicky. Then I'm going to come back. Mm-hmm. We have Roger Harden on at 10:30, former Kentucky point guard. He's fourth in assist, in career assist. Was a heck of a point guard. Eddie Sutton ended up coaching a year before he got into business. Then at 11 o'clock, we've got Kyle Tucker from The Athletic talking about what's going on in the world of recruiting. There's a lot of ancillary things going on in the world of recruiting, and Kyle can fill in the blanks. But back to you, Mr. Valvano.
I think, sir.
I got in the car. I had to run a couple. Well, no, I was in the car and got out of the car to get gas, whatever. And you start talking about all your Pisons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you started running down the list. It was a good, solid list, you know? Now, Issel's not a Pison, nor is Pratt. But then he
just
throws out...
We could add a vowel or two at the end of it. And then, yeah, maybe.
Eli Capiluto.
Mm.
But he's not a Pison.
No, I didn't want to say anything. Like, I knew he wasn't.
Okay.
I forgot who it was who was saying that. Yeah, you got a ton. I was like, Eli Capiluto is not a Italian. But okay. Like, I didn't want to just, you know, bury the dude. I forgot who it was that was saying it. But yeah, I was like, not every vowel at the end is, you know, is an
beautiful
Italian. But yeah.
Beautiful.
No, we're on the same wavelength there, 100%. Is Mingione? Is Nick Mingione? That was the one I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yes, he is. And you had that one.
Yeah.
You said, I'm not quite sure, but I think he is. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
we went 1-for-2 there.
Well, a lot of news as it relates to college football, Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, what kind of story is this?
Yeah. You're talking about Texas and Oklahoma inquiring about moving to the SEC. Interesting. Very, very interesting. I think a lot of teams in the SEC will be in favor of it. You said something interesting that I thought of right out of the box, and that is, what do the Longhorns do with their Longhorn network? That wouldn't fit in with being a member of the SEC, I wouldn't think.
I would guarantee you it wouldn't. And one of the reasons I think that Texas A&M and Colorado, didn't Colorado leave the Big 12 to go to the Pac-10? A lot of it had to do with Texas just saying, hey, guys, you can take your own TV and put it where the refrigerator works, and but we're going to do the Longhorn Network.
Yeah.
So the SEC has such a great thing going with the SEC network. like the Big Ten does with the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
That you're not, I find it hard to believe they'd let somebody drag their network in and to compete with what the SEC already has going, and it's very financially lucrative.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of is this Longhorn network must not be the money maker that they thought it was going to be if they're looking to move to the SEC. I mean, that's why Notre Dame football won't permanently join any conference because of the TV deal they have with NBC. They would have to take a pretty good cut to be part of any other conference. There, Texas A&M, how much of Texas, which is, I mean, that's what this is all about.
Eyeballs.
Is how exactly. How many people, how many fans, how many viewers do we bring to the table? I would guess, it's nothing more than a guess, but I would guess that even with Texas A&M being in the conference, and they certainly don't want Texas in, there's one no vote right there. But how many additional people would Texas bring to the SEC out of the state of Texas?
Well, A&M is about an hour from Houston, so you already have the Houston marketplace. And I don't know Dallas, Fort Worth, that the big population, a lot of eyeballs. In Austin, how many eyeballs are there? This is going to be a real challenge, I think, for these two teams and the SEC, because that's a big move for those particular teams to leave their league. I mean, that just leaves that league in shambles.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You lose those two teams, you might as well fold the league up and have everybody else looking for a place to land, because what the final analysis, and the reason I ask you about how many more people would Texas bring, is you've got a pie, all right?
Yep.
And right now there are 14 slices in that pie, right? There's 14 teams.
Correct.
In the SEC. So does the pie get big enough bringing those two teams in that 16 slices are bigger than 14 slices, or will the slices get smaller bringing those two teams in? And that's all it'll come down to. That's exactly what we're fighting in NBA expansion. There's 30 teams, and so there's 30 pieces of the pie. And what the owners are looking at is, if they expand, do those pieces get bigger, or are they sharing those pieces and they get smaller? And so, you know, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I know the answer to that is if the pie gets smaller for the existing members, it ain't going to happen.
No, I know that. Yeah. Hey, I knew that, but I don't know the answer to these two teams. I would think, not only just talking about football, but those two teams in basketball have been pretty good lately.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
Texas, you read the preseason poll the other day. I think you said Texas was third.
Yep.
Yeah.
They had moved up. Yep.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're just not talking football here. That would really enhance the league in all sports, I would guess. But those are two pretty good teams to bring in, Mike.
It could enhance the league in football and basketball. Maybe I don't think it's going to enhance it in women's basketball, because that league is a bear to start with. But now you've got all your non-revenue sports, and you're going to have to start sending them to Texas and Oklahoma to play. Okay, that's one of the complaints West Virginia has about being in that league, and it's not a loud complaint, but it's been discussed, is they have all their non-revenue teams that they've got to take around, and the money's good enough, I guess, for them, but that's an issue. It's going to become more of an issue. I mean, you've got to divide up into divisions, don't you? You got a West and an East, and for all sports, not just football like the SEC is now, basketball, you got a West and an East, maybe tennis, the same thing, or maybe you take the non-revenue Olympic sports out and just say, we're going to start something different for you that is geographically favorable to all these teams.
That's a good point about West Virginia, because every other team in that conference is west of the Mississippi,
yep.
aren't they?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And I would say, and I know we probably have to get to a break before we talk with Roger, but I would say West Virginia becomes, if this all develops, I think they become a very very attractive team for any league.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, I want to tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza. You know George Timmering down at Bear Nose by the Bay. We're going to have a draft party. NBA Tolu is going to have a draft party. Now, it's only opened to members of our Ambassador Club. There are three different levels to the Ambassador Club. And if you go on the website, NBA Tolu, you'll see what those levels are. But the Ambassador Club, NBA Tolu, is going to have a draft party down at Bear Nose by the bridge. And George has agreed to open up the entire restaurant for our draft party. So he's really a good friend of our shows and a great friend of NBA Tolu. Let me tell you about Bear Nose Pizza. There are 13 at different area locations. It's my favorite spot to watch the game. Great food, great drinks, great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose are now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
And we are back for the second half hour, the first hour. And on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity call-in line, as Dan Issel tells me that I need to pour a wine in a glass to remember, we have Roger Harden. Welcome in, Roger.
Hey, Mike, it's great to be here. How you doing, Dan?
Doing terrific, Roger. I hope everything's well with you.
Everything is great. And when I got my invitation to come on the show for Mike this past weekend, I didn't realize you guys were doing a show. So I was excited for a lot of reasons. But I've listened to you since Monday. I'm living in West Lafayette, Indiana at the moment. And genuinely can't tell you how much I've enjoyed listening to you guys the last 3 or 4 days.
Well, thank you.
You guys are doing a great job.
That's very nice.
It makes it a lot easier when we have guests like you and Matt Doherty and that can help us through. We just kind of wobble along, Roger, and just let guys like you take over.
I actually like hearing about what Dan Issel did this morning, driving to Lexington, and I enjoyed learning a little bit about your family, Mike. You've got a brother and some family out in Oregon, so I've always admired you guys. I grew up watching Dan. I lived in Denver. My dad was the basketball coach at the University of Denver in the 70s. So I got to see a lot of ABA, and then, of course, I think, Dan, you came mid-70s to the Nuggets, and that's when they went to the NBA. So it's an honor to be on and talk a little bit of basketball. And, boy, how things are changing right now, right? It's amazing. Every day you wake up, there's something new going on.
You know, Roger, that's what we wanted to talk to you about because you're an old-school guy like us, and you were Mr. Basketball in Indiana when you came out of high school, and which means you wore the number one in the All-Star game. And then your career as an assist man at Kentucky, you're number four. I don't think Issel's close to that, but he had a couple, okay? He had a couple assists, but you're number four career. And so basketball was good to you. What in the world could have happened to that teams you played on if you had name, image, and likeness?
Well, first of all, I don't look back a lot, but when that passed, I thought it was great. I really did. And, of course, my first call probably would have been to Rogaine or Keats. I was losing my hair in college, guys. And I feel like as an assist guy, a role player, I was a role player, a begrudging role player, okay? Eventually, Joe B., beat me down to an assist guy. I come out of Indiana. My dad played ball at Indiana University, and I decided to go to the University of Kentucky and thought I was going to, you know, be able to put up some shots like Macy. But, you know, when I had Walker, Bowie, and Turpin on my front line, Coach Hall had other plans for me. So, but it was a joy to get those guys the ball. And, of course, I took a lot of pride. We didn't quite get there in getting Kenny Walker to be in the all-time leading scorer to beat some guy from Batavia, Illinois, who was the all-time leading scorer. But we didn't quite get there, but we got him almost close. But he put me up the assist ladder very well. So I attribute my assist a lot to Kenny Walker. And got a great relationship to this day, my lifelong friend with Coach Hall. But things have changed. I mean, you know, I was thinking when we used to practice at Memorial Coliseum, we would go in to that little locker room that was right across from then the equipment room. And I was always wondering, was that you guys' locker room at Memorial?
That was it. It was a beauty, wasn't it?
Things have really changed for you guys. And weren't you guys living? You were living on campus, right?
In fact, Roger, they spread us out. We weren't even on the same floor. Now, our roommate was another basketball player, but we were spread out first at Hagen Hall, and then later at the complex, but we weren't even on the same floor. We were right with the regular population.
Yes, and then of course Coach Hall. I think he was an assistant, wasn't he? An assistant when you guys were there?
Yep. He recruited both of us.
Did he really? Okay, good. Well, we heard all about you guys. I mean, he talked continuously about the tradition, and he talked about Pratt and Issel and the Fab Five, and of course, you know, he grew up making scrapbooks about it. So we always felt a great connection to yesteryear when we played there. And but one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about, and this is just like really random, okay? When I first got there, okay, the thing that surprised me, other than the fact that we really had to go to class, was when we worked out preseason, okay, we were issued what's now commonly known as a wife beater shirt. You know, those little, like, Hanes things that we would work out in before the season started when we were going through that. Did you guys wear that as well?
Yes, we did.
We got there and we're all like, okay, we're at Kentucky, right? And it's the first thing you do is, well, the first thing they did when I showed up was they took me to get a haircut and they took me to Doll Hairs to get a suit. And next thing I know, I'm out speaking somewhere randomly before I've even played a game. But then when it came to working out, I'm thinking, man, we're going to have some sweet gear. Well, Mr. Wildcat, Bill Kiley, you know, he's passing out our equipment to go over to run across campus to work out. And they hand us these Hanes wife beaters. And we're like, are you kidding me? Is this really what we're wearing? I mean, we know Carolina and some of those guys got some really nice stuff, man. But Coach Hall always used to say, yeah, this is what we did when Coach Rupp did, and we always wanted to ask you guys, is that the truth? Did you guys have to wear those as well? So today I put that to bed.
Yeah, we had to wear those outfits, plus the socks, if they got a hole in them, they didn't throw them away. Hugh had to darn them. So you had socks that had holes sewn up in them. Now, I want to ask you about Coach Hall. He could be pretty convincing. How did you get from being Mr. Indiana to Lexington, Kentucky?
Well, you know, I grew up, my mom and dad, my mom went to Purdue, my dad went to IU, they got married in college, and all along the way, you know, I grew up in basketball. As soon as he graduated Indiana from IU, he became a high school coach for 3 or 4 years, and then he got the assistant and then the head coaching job at the University of Denver. But I would sit up and talk, listen to him talk with his assistants and stuff like that. And he would always tell us, you know, if you ever have the chance to play basketball at Kentucky, that's where you really want to play. I had an older brother that played at Florida for a year, then ended up at Nevada, Reno. I had a younger brother that played. And once we moved back to Indiana, a lot of us guards in Indiana didn't really want to play for Coach Knight because, you know, we felt like, you know, the motion offense and all that talk about defense. You know, our idea of defense in high school basketball in Indiana was just to score one more point than the guy you're guarding. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that was kind of scary. But little did I know that I was playing for a son of a gun in Coach Hall when he came. I mean, he was on me. He was on me. I mean, you know, Coach Hall always had one guy that he got on. You know, they tell me that it was Roby in 78 and on down the line. Of course, all the assistants would come to me after practice, after he would make me run and get on me really hard and say, hey, he's only doing that because he likes you. He wants you to be the leader. I'm going, really? Is that how you say that, right? And so, but me and him had a little bit of a rocky relationship early, but late, early into my junior year, late into my sophomore year, he and I got very close. I got very comfortable for playing underneath his type of a persona. And, you know, I was a part of the last team to start the season 1-4 last year when we were 1-4 was in 85. So this past year's team really took the monkey off that season's back from us because they went 1-5. Now, I wasn't cheering for that, but I did get a little publicity. When you go 1-4 and you're 57 years old, any publicity is good publicity. So you got to, you know, talk about what it was like to be 1-4, right? But we had other conditions that while we were 1-4, we ended up, you know, getting beat in Denver in the Sweet 16 to St. John's that year. But I got very comfortable with Coach Hall, and I talk to him all the time now. In fact, he calls me occasionally, and because he has nothing to do. He's got all those people waiting on him hand and foot, and when we played for him, he always used to always take it upon himself, regardless of who you were on the team, what your rank was, whether you were the leading scorer, whatever. He thought it was his job to keep us grounded. He thought that, you know, playing at Kentucky, being young, the way that our fans adore us and put us on a pedestal, he always brought us down a notch. So he wanted to keep us grounded. So what I do now, he has gotten so much love and publicity, well-deserved, I might add, from all of our fans. When I call him now, I tell him that it's now my job to try to keep him grounded at 93 years old, not to get the big head. You know, every time Coach Cal goes and sees him and everybody's like, oh, Coach Hall, this or that. So I call him. If it takes you more than 4 or 5 rings to answer, I get on him really hard. I'm like, you're getting old, you're getting slow, you need your coffee. So I really stay on him and try to keep him grounded. But it's always great to talk to guys that have played in different eras. And the guys that we played in our era, we would always hear about your era. And we never really got to mix that much. And that's one thing I think, you know, with Kentucky basketball, I was listening to Doherty yesterday. Carolina's done a great job of meshing everybody because they've kind of kept that job inside the family. But it's always great to talk to you guys, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we're talking with Roger Harden, former UK point guard. I think he's number three, average 4.1 assist a game. You mentioned Coach Hall picking out some people. I will tell you that we heard about Hagan, Ramsey, and Seropoulos every day in practice from Coach Rupp. So Joby got it. He got it naturally. Now, you had an excellent relationship with Coach Sutton. And
I did.
Coach Sutton loved Kentucky basketball. He went out of his way. He invited me up whenever I saw him. I couldn't say enough about Coach Sutton. And you had an excellent relationship with him.
I did. When Coach Sutton came, he came from Arkansas, and undoubtedly he coach, but every coach brings a different culture. He had more of a relationship. He was more of a relationship guy than Coach Hall was. Coach Hall was more of a taskmaster, and you know, one of the things that happened in playing it for two great coaches like both Coach Hall and Coach Sutton were, one guy gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, and he's been my lifetime friend, Coach Sutton. We had a great year his first year there. The way that they ran their program was really different. You know, with Coach Hall, he kind of picked where the ball was going to go. He pretty much developed the roles for us, who the leaders were going to be. Coach Sutton, and I also coached with Eddie for 2 years, he would pick his leaders. He would go over to open gym, over to alumni gym, and he would watch the summer ball, and eventually, as you guys know, there's the leaders or whoever's running the team is going to ultimately end up running the gym. And that's who he would get behind, and because he wanted the team to be able to follow him too. So that's kind of how he picked his leaders. With Coach Hall, it was more, this is the direction we're going to go. This is who I think should be the leader. This is where I think the ball should go. As opposed to, and he would always pay attention to his little thing. He used to tell me and say, I always would say when we would go over there and play, the only thing that he would do in the summer, Coach Sutton would, he would have different guys pick what five they would want to play with. Of course, there was always other guys wanting to play, and he would always pay attention to who each guy picked. So that, you know, the number 10 guy on the team might be picking the team today, and the number 8 guy on the team would be picking the team. He wanted to know who they thought was the best on the team, and who did they think would take to you know, win the games. That's kind of how he ran his program. There was little things that I thought were fascinating with the way that he did things.
Roger, I was really happy that he was elected to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame before he passed away, and had a chance to realize that dream. Now, you were on his first, your senior year was his first year there, and I think you went to the Elite Eight, didn't you?
We did. We went 32-4. We lost one game in the SEC. We were 17-1. I think we ended the year number one in the country. And of course, you know, we got beat in a heartbreaker. I had two heartbreaking Elite Eights. We get upset, or actually we thought we had the game won against Louisville my freshman year. We get beat in overtime. And then my senior year was bookcased by another heartbreaking Elite Eight loss to LSU, who we had to play for the fourth time that year. And as you guys know, from that era, the most disappointing thing that happened to you at the University of Kentucky is if you went 4 years and you did win a national championship. You know, I went to the University of Kentucky to win a national championship. That was one of the big things when you came out as a high-rated player nationally or whatever. You wanted to go play for a national championship team. And it was all about legacy. And if you were good enough, you'd make it in the NBA. If you weren't, you would have many opportunities in the state that you played in. And there's no better fan base than the Big Blue Nation. And the people of Kentucky, as I'm sure both of you can attest to, have been very kind to me and my family throughout the years, and it's opened many doors and still opens doors to this day when people find out that I played basketball at the University of Kentucky.
Roger, I want to ask you what you're doing right now in West Lafayette, but the last coaching job you had was a high school job in Williamsburg High School in Northern Kentucky, and you turned that program around and then decided to get out, right?
Yes. Well, I've made all my wife and I, of course, when Coach Hall recruited me, he said, you'll probably marry a girl from Kentucky and you'll probably end up in Kentucky. I've pretty much been in Kentucky since 82. All my life decisions have been based around really the family. And we moved to Williamstown, Kentucky, which is a very small town in the 8th region, which is where my wife is from. Her mother was in early stages Alzheimer's. We wanted to move back up there. We moved from Lexington up there to be with the family, and the local coaching job just happened to be open. We've got 200 kids in the school, okay? So they asked me if I'll take the coaching job. Well, the first year I get my brains beat in. We win 3 games. I took it personal because people, you know, back when we were growing up, if you beat somebody more than 20 or 25, you didn't call the dogs off. You know, it was kind of personal. But today they'll beat you 50, 45, however much they want to in high school. So the second half of the season, we're getting beat so bad. My first year, I start holding the ball on everybody. I think, you know, you're going to beat me, but you're not going to beat us 50, okay? You might beat us 25. So we started holding the ball. We were very small, and I learned a lot about the game. It was the first time I had ever lost in basketball in my life, at least at that level. So I really bonded with the kids. I wanted to, you know, live and die with them. We got in the gym. The great part of it was there was nothing to do in the town in the summer. We all just started living in the gym, had great relationships with them. By the time we left, we made the region. I think our last year there, I think we beat 5, 6, 8 teams. We beat Simon Kent, and they had 1,700 kids. Our big competitor was Grant County, which was a cross-town rival. They had about 1,300 or 1,400 kids in their school. And we beat them in the district. We were actually up 42 going into the fourth quarter in the districts my last year that we were there. So we brought a lot of pride, able to bring some pride and some respectability to the team and to the school. So it was 5 great years. I washed the uniforms. We picked up trash, raised money. It was a great time, and got to spend time with my mother-in-law. She passed away last December, but it was the best decision we ever had. We almost, you know, I did that for $7,000 a year. And it was the greatest job I've ever had since I've gotten out of basketball.
And so what are you doing now in West Lafayette?
Well, we moved up here. My parents are 80. They needed some help. We moved up here 2 years ago. So they live in Crawfordsville, which is a town about 20 minutes from West Lafayette. So what I'm doing currently is what every former point guard does or should do as soon as they possibly can that doesn't make the NBA, I sell insurance. Okay. So, and right now I'm specializing in pre-need funeral insurance, and you, Mike and Issel, are 72. And when you called me, I thought maybe we could get together for lunch and maybe I could write a couple of policies for you guys.
You've got the pitch down perfect, Roger Harden. You've got the pitch down perfect, man.
Oh, man. But, yeah. But, no, that's what I'm doing. My wife is a physical therapist. We have 4 adult children. My baby girl is going to be a senior at Western Kentucky. And so we're blessed every day. I've got so much to be grateful for. My St. Louis Cardinals got one last night. They beat Issel's Cubs.
Issel
was a Cubs fan. I don't want to talk about what happened the game before last night, though, when they came back. So I've not had a real good year. You know, I live and die with the Kentucky Wildcats all the time. I have a good time on Twitter. I'm only on Twitter during the basketball season, so that's my pleasure in life right now before I get grandkids, is I spend a lot of time during the basketball season on Twitter. As soon as the season's over, I cease Twitter and I go on with my life and I get into my St. Louis Cardinals. But I've really enjoyed the Calipari era, got to see a lot of great basketball players. And hopefully looking forward to a good season coming up.
Well, Roger, I wasn't going to bring this up, but since you stiffed my Cubbies, I have to tell you, I was in McNichols Arena 1985, the night you lost Coach Hall's last game.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Well, McNichols Sports Arena has a lot of great memories for me. I played in the Junior Nugget League. The Police Athletic League used to have a thing called the Junior Nugget.
Sure, yeah.
Yes. And also, if you won the pass, shoot, and dribble Optimist Award, you got to go to the finals at McNichol Sports Arena. So I grew up watching you going and cheering against you when I was cheering for the Rockets. And then I've told this story. At one time, you lived, I'm pretty sure, off Dartmouth Avenue. Did you ever live on Dartmouth Avenue?
Sure did.
Mister.
Yep, sure did.
And I was your paper boy. I delivered the Rocky Mountain
News,
the Denver Post.
No way.
Before God, my brother also delivered the Rocky Mountain News and the Denver Post. He had the opposing route to me. And he had John Ralston. Remember him, the coach for the Broncos?
Coach of the Broncos, yeah, yeah.
Yes. So he had him. And then when I found out, and it, of course I found out because it used to be you would throw the paper on the porch, and then every month you had to go collect the money. You had to go out and you had to get new subscriptions as well. They would reward you. That's back in the dinosaur days there, but. But I always dealt with your wife, and she is a very beautiful lady, but she's petite. And I said, I went home, I said, I'm telling you, that's Dan. She said that her husband plays for the Nuggets. Her last name is Issel. But I said, I don't know how Dan can kiss her because she's so petite. How does she do that? She's so small.
What kind of tipper was she?
She was a fantastic tipper, and I have said this on Twitter. Off the chain when it came to Halloween candy, like full Snicker bars, full Milky Way bars, right? I went to a little elementary school called Slavens Elementary, and all of the people, so I would go to school and tell everybody that I was your paper boy, and that was really big news because when you and David Thompson, Bobby Jones, Marvin Webster, the human eraser, Fatty Taylor, of course, Monty Tau. We always used to see him at Peaches. You remember Peaches Record Store in Denver, Colorado,
Dan? Oh, yeah.
Then?
Oh, yeah.
Monty Tau used to hang out there all the time, right? And one time, and of course, all the players at the University of Denver, my dad actually coached Sinbad. His name was David Acker.
Yeah,
Sinbad played for my dad at the University of Denver.
I know
and
Sinbad.
And Peaches was right up the street from the university. And they used to take us up there because we'd always go up to the gym. And one time Monty Tau got out of his van. He drove a van. Do you remember that? Monty Tau drove a van.
Yep.
And
yep.
He got out of the van one time to go into Peaches. And you remember that Cheech and Chong scene where they were smoking so much weed and they opened the door and all the smoke came out? Monty Tau, before weed was legal, okay? Now listen to this. Later on, he's the one that recruited my brother, right, at Florida because he coached with Norm Sloan. And my brother said on his visit, he told Monty that about that day, and Monty started laughing and said, yeah, I've kind of gone on to other things now, my man. He said that was a mistake. So now that marijuana is kind of an accepted recreational or medicinal substance, I tell that story because I know Monty very well, and Monty actually talks about some of those things. He's actually talks about some of those things now. So, but those were great times in Denver. Denver's a great city, and they love their Nuggets. They love their Broncos. And, you know, Carl Shear, remember the great Carl Shear? How'd you like Carl Shear, Dan?
He was terrific.
He was a piece of work.
Executive. Boy, did he really get the Nuggets going when you guys went to the NBA. That was like night and day from the Rockets. I mean, that was big time watching you guys play. I can't tell you. And last week I spoke at Rick Mount's camp, and didn't you play with him when he was with the Colonels?
Yeah.
Wasn't he with the Colonels?
He sure was. He first went to the Pacers, and then Mike Storn was the general manager of the Pacers when they drafted Rick, and then Mike came to Louisville and made a deal for Rick.
Yes, and I saw the Rocket last Tuesday at Lebanon High School gym where he played high school. Of course, he's still living in yesteryear. He can tell you how many he had on this night and that night, and I love it. That's why I show up. But I had him on my wall. He was one of the first high school kids to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
The first.
I wore my hair like him, okay? I saw the Rocket at 74 years old go 38 for 40 between the foul line and the top of the key with about 60 kids there watching me.
Unbelievable.
So he can still shoot the rock. It was great. It was an epic moment for me.
Well, Roger, we're going to let you go. We appreciate the stories. And listen, I follow you on Twitter during the basketball season, but we want to get you back because you're an opinionated guy about the college basketball scene, and we're going to have you back to talk basketball once it gets started, my man.
Well, hey, it's an honor. Thank you for having me. And, I think you guys are great for talk radio. I know my generation is really enjoying what's going on with both of you. So I want to encourage you and tell you how much I appreciate being on the show. But all the best to you in this endeavor. I think it's great. You guys got to play together. I remember there was a picture of you guys in your letter jackets on campus. They had it on Twitter, Kentucky Basketball Twitter. The Big Blue Nation loved it. And I think it's great. This long later, you guys are doing a talk show together. And I hope you're enjoying it. God bless both of you.
Thank you very much, Roger.
Take care, Roger.
We appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
How about that? Great stories, huh?
My newspaper boy in Denver.
How about that? And then Monty Tao. I've got to find. I used to have a number for Monty. We got to get Monty.
Do you know the scene he's talking about, Cheech and Chong?
Oh, yeah.
They're in the van, and you can't even see them. There's so much marijuana. I'm just glad Sherry tipped him well.
He doesn't understand that if it would have been you, there wouldn't have been a tip. That's what he doesn't understand. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with Kyle Tucker.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations, but they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.